I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which was held last weekend, just this last Saturday and Sunday at the Monterey Fairgrounds. Good times were had by all. We put in our requisition and had beautiful weather and had beautiful people coming through all weekend. It was a wonderful time and a wonderful event. And if you missed it, put the 27th and 28th of October 2018 on your calendar so you can be there. It was a great time. Now, most of you know that I love to start my show with a little day by day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. And he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Allen described that essay as a book that will help you help yourself. He wanted us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, habits, and beliefs. But our past thoughts, habits, and beliefs are not predictors of our future. Every day we have a new opportunity to shape a new future by shifting our beliefs, our habits, our thoughts, and our intentions, and we can create a new future. We're not predestined based on yesterday. Allen wanted us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month, so it's easier to digest. And for the 23rd day of the month, he said, your thoughts brought you here. You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. And there was a speaker by the name of Charles Tremendous Jones, who always said, 5 years from now, you will be the same person you are now, except for the books you read and the people you meet. Consider that as nothing else but the framework of your future. Who are you meeting? What are you reading? How you are expanding your thoughts? And that helps you create those new intentions, those new beliefs, those new habits for the future. One of the other things I do on a daily basis is read the Daily Word put out by Unity Corporation. Now, the Daily Word has a little affirmation followed by a little explanation, but I just like the affirmations as a thought for the day. And today's thought for Monday, October 23rd, is I have faith in the divine. So no matter what you're going through in your life right now, no matter what you feel circumstances are delivering to you right now, if you can trust that you're being guided and you can listen for that guidance, you'll find that there's always an outcome that serves you. One of the things I like from one of my favorite astrologers, Joyce Muse, who was also at the Rhoda Psychic Fair, and she does her segment on the third Monday of each month here on Good Vibrations Radio. She introduced me to a book called The Gentle Way by Tom Moore, and I just love this book. He talks about how he talks to spirit or how he talks to his angels. And I believe it's a great affirmation for us to use in almost any circumstance where we feel uncertain or unclear or even anxious or afraid. And what you do is you just ask for the most benevolent outcome for all concerned. Now notice, I didn't say you ask for this outcome or that outcome. That's exactly all you ask for, is the most benevolent outcome. Because the truth is, when we get our ego mind engaged on many of these things, we think we know the best outcome, but we don't necessarily. Think back to any period of your life, no matter how traumatic, dramatic, or upsetting it was, how many gifts came out of that period, and you would not have received those gifts. It was up to you to write the script and direct the movie. You wouldn't have seen them. But if we trust to that most benevolent outcome, or as the Daily Word says, I trust in the divine, or I have faith in God, then you can actually receive more than you were capable of thinking. Which leads us to our guest for today, who is actually more than you're capable of thinking. He's actually a Renaissance man. He had quite an experience in life, and I'm going to let him tell a lot of his story himself versus given to him. But some of his highlights is that he's been a psychic, a speaker, a children's storyteller, a writer of children's stories, a writer in other genres, an abstract watercolor painter. He lives in Virginia Beach, Virginia, with his wife of 46 years. They have two adult sons, and in the past, they've had two cats, one dog, one hamster, and two gerbils, all of whom have had long lives. He's a psychic who specializes in love and relationships. And I have a special musical introduction to introduce us to David Champion. So let's have his musical introduction, and then we'll speak with David.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner.
Well, David, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you. It's my great pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I bet you that's not the musical introduction you thought you were going to get, though.
No, it is. Before you put it on, I was like, well, let's see. Will this be the music from the Ten Commandments? Dun, 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 dun. Will this be... No, this was not at all what I expected, at all. But I read James Allen many, many, many years ago, and I have it on my one of my bookshelves. And so I appreciate that very much. And we used to I used to get the Daily Word. I subscribed to the Daily Word for a long time. It's good stuff.
Well, I like it for exactly how I use it here on the show and how I use it for the day. Just give me a thought, Let me reframe it. Let me use it. I think it's a good thing to do. But one of the reasons I selected that song goes back to what I said in the introduction of you, is that you've had such a varied, such an interesting life. I often say about myself, and I think it applies to you, that I've lived many lives in one. And when I look over your bio and your background, it seems as if you've lived many lives in one.
But yes, it's...
Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly what I felt, many, many lives. So where would you want to begin?
Well, here's where I would like to begin. Even going through your bio, I know some of what I'm about to receive back, but I may get more, is when did you first become aware of your gifts, and when did you first decide to trust your gift? And let me explain why I'm asking that. So many people, especially coming off the psychic fair, we had almost 600 people come through, and so many of those people have a distrust of the natural gift they themselves may have. So they come for validation. They come for that reading to say, okay, that's what I was thinking. That's what I thought. That's right. And it takes time. And I've watched over the years as people have gained more confidence in their own skill set. So that's why I was asking, when did you know and when did you first trust?
Well, I had early experiences when I was very, very young, about 9 or so. I had an invisible friend, and I mentioned that to my mother. My mother immediately called the school guidance counselor, and boy, was I going to get it. So, but another experience about the same time, I had... the phone rang, and I knew exactly who was on the other end of the phone. And this is before caller ID, before any of that. My father was not necessarily open to that and told me, you will never do that again. So after doing it a few times, he basically told me that's not to be done. But the second part of your question is about when did you trust yourself? In 1993, when it was so extraordinarily strong, I didn't know what to do, but I was afraid, what if I get this wrong? I was so concerned about, you know, if I say this is a good relationship and it's not, or vice versa, or, you know, you've got this job. And I was basically paralyzed at the thought I might hurt somebody. And I forget who suggested that you have to begin to use this because it's energy. It's all, you're blocking all this energy. And I average about 85%. And as I began to just sort of allow this, I felt much better and I was more accurate. And I just, it just comes to me naturally. It just comes to me naturally. And just it, but that's a very good question and about doubt, because not only do people doubt, but I, as a psychic, doubt. It was a paralyzing experience. Here I could read this and know this and understand so much, and yet I was afraid that I was going to say it wrong or say it so that people could not understand.
Now, you've actually, since we're talking 1993, and I mentioned you've been married for 46 years, people can do their own...
I don't want to correct you, but I must have... It's 47 since we've talked.
Oh, okay. Well, happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I still have one wife, two sons, and... We had to bury all the pets when they reach 100. We buried them all, but they all died with a smile on their face.
Well, what I was getting to is that you've obviously, since it was 1993 when you began this trust, I think the listeners can do the math and realize that you had then what we might call a physical life experience of other career that you were in. So let me ask you this, is that, from the career that you were in before you went to being a full-time psychic, how has your psychic skills helped or aided you, either in the career, intentionally or otherwise, or since you've become a psychic? What has it done with you and your life?
Well, before I did this, I was a motivational speaker, and I loved it. It's you can feel the energy. It's not religious. It is not necessarily spiritual, but is of the highest and best. There is, you know, we're wanting people to change their lives and give them ideas and inspiration, which on a moment-to-moment basis will help them. And that was wonderful. And then I became psychic, and I became psychic so profoundly. Actually, what happened was my first experience was about 1979, and I was working as a night attendant in a funeral home. And when I got off in the morning, I went across the street to buy some items and drive home. Well, my turn came. As I'm moving through the line, a small store, I knew something was wrong. I couldn't figure it out because I knew the medical, what was going on with these people medically. I could just feel something was not right. My turn came. I bought a few items, and I gave my money to the clerk, and the clerk touched my hand, and I looked at her and I said, your brother who's in a hospital in Wisconsin is going to be all right. She stared at me. She said, what did you say? And I repeated that. And then she screamed one of these, you know, siren screams. They get louder and louder. And a Don Knotts security guard came over, and he pulls out his gun. Is this a robbery? And she said, no. And she's crying. And the manager came over and said, is this a robbery? And she's crying, no. Well, the cops were called. I went out a side door, and that was the beginning. And I was 1 week of intense psychic. I knew everything about everything. I mean, it was just I was just almost disabled by this ability. And so somebody said, if you wanted to let it go, if you want to get rid of it, here's how you get rid of it. And I was like, ah, fantastic. God doesn't want me to be a psychic. This is great. And so I released it, and it was gone. I was like, oh, wow, great. And then it came back, and it came back with such a force, but not, you know, 79, 89, 90, 1, 2, 3, we're back. And I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared. It basically disabled me for a couple of years. I was like, how do you handle this? And so I didn't have anybody there to say, whoa, I didn't know where to look, or, you know, I just didn't know where to go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please.
I was going to say, so since that time, have you encountered other psychics that had any form of a similar introduction to their skill set?
I've encountered many, many psychics, some very, very good and some less good. And they all have gone through a period. Fortunately, some have had mentorship. They've grown up in various kinds of experience groups or support systems. They knew someone and they knew who to ask. I didn't have that at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now I've actually mentored many people about this. Basically, it's whatever you feel is correct. Whatever you feel is correct. And so most of the time we are at war with I think and I feel. Whatever you feel is correct. So if you meet someone and you think, well, this person is, you know, amazing, he's this and that, he's, or she's this and that, and they have this business and this, but you just don't feel right about them. Something is not right. Trust the gut. Trust your gut. Woman's intuition, your gut feeling, it's always the same thing. It's your solar plexus. That's where you feel the energy. What you're feeling, not only you but everybody, we feel this. It's we feel other people, and other people feel us, and we interpret that energy. And if we could understand this at a much deeper level, we'd have a much better life. Because
go ahead.
Please. No, go ahead.
No, we'd have a much better life. Please go there.
Because the number one thing I deal with all the time is people misunderstanding someone, especially people who are somehow different, especially handicapped or the elderly or different populations. And we make assumptions about, quote unquote, those people. And everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. We want food, hunger, shelter, hunger. I mean, we want to be able to eat, you know, all of the basic needs. But we also want one more thing. We want respect. We want respect. And, you know, that's a major thing. So whatever we feel is correct. There's no reason to fear your neighbors or fear, you know, we live in a time right now created because of, it's maximized because everybody's running around afraid of everything. There's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of.
Well, you touched on something I want to come back to, is that you say when we meet people or we talk about those people, it strikes me that most often when we meet people, we make a judgment, which is ego, which is mind, as you were saying. And
yes.
As a result, we're not actually feeling anything. We don't even respond to feeling. We shut it off because we've already made a mental judgment. I've really looked at that person and I said, gee, based on the way they're dressed or based on the way they're doing this or the absence of teeth in their mouth, or like there was a gentleman yesterday, I have no idea, or actually spent the whole weekend at the psychic fair. If you looked at him, and he may be, he looks homeless. He didn't smell homeless, but he looks homeless. So when you talk to him, I found myself responding from appearance, and I had to get myself to just respond from connection, which was different because we do that automatically. So it seems to me to get to feeling, we actually have to be willing to bypass thinking, because that's where our judgment comes from.
When I started being a psychic, I had this big conflict, and the conflict was, I think this, I know this, I and I'm going to make a decision. I was like, but I feel this, but I know this. And so I got peace with this, because it's whatever I feel first. And that keeps me sane.
And I think it's also why Descartes was never a psychic, because he just thought, therefore he was.
Very good. Very good. I just flashed back to my philosophy class. I'm like, what is that? Wow, where did that come from? And the evil of destruction. I hadn't heard that since the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, did you just freak me out?
Yeah, well. They're all appropriate. They all apply. So you actually have moved. You're a psychic. You're an empath. You're a medium. Do you do a lot of work for past people, for passed over family or relatives or friends?
I've had not a lot, but I've had a portion of what I do about mediumship. People want to know. There are two kinds of questions. One, the first is my uncle or relative, sister, whatever it is she okay?
No, they're not. I was just talking to them. They're having a hard time.
Okay.
I need to stop that. I'm just going to throw you off. Go ahead.
I was like, what? You know all these people?
Yeah. Okay, I met them. So, it was a poker game. It was a poker game. They were all there.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, you were saying, I threw you off, I apologize. Actually, what you were saying is that people will come and say, you know, is my uncle, my niece, my whatever, are they okay? And that's one of the questions they will present
you with. So the other thing is, people want to know about their relative who or friend who committed suicide.
Mm.
And they want to know if I had gone over there and brought him the bread, if I had driven him to work, if I had given him the money, if I had, would he have killed himself? And the answer is yes, but maybe not immediately.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he or she would have done it. And everybody is guilty because it's always, well, he called me and he said, you know, can I come right over? And I said, geez, you know, Joe, I'm in the middle of something. Oh, okay. And then he dies. And so that's the number one thing. You want to reassure them. I actually feel the energy. And, you know, there's nothing. Somebody who's determined that this is their way out, they may not do it that night, but maybe 4 years later they will.
Well, isn't it true, or maybe it's not, but I'm certainly going to say it. And isn't it true, really, that all of our sorrow is really self-directed and not really directed at the person who passed over? We're feeling sorry for ourselves because
we feel, very few people. I try to deal with that. I know a lot about death and dying from a lot of different aspects, but we feel abandoned and we're angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may not say, you know, I love you, Joe, but I hate you because it is about us. It is about us. But that's not the popular way of thinking about grief.
No, and it strikes me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I worked at a funeral home, and it was always, I tried to do this, and I love Joe, or I love Mary, or whatever it is. And it's very, very hard to explain the continuity of a life. Life doesn't end. It does not end. Life goes on and on and on and on. You're not going to run in a marathon, and you're not going to eat food, and you're not going to sleep, but your spirit is going to go on.
Mm. Yeah, I've often found there's two things, and you don't have to address them directly. I would just like to make the point is that there are two areas that I've often found people believing they're searching for something of understanding outside themselves, but I've never found it to be that. One is when they seek to talk to those who've passed over, because I believe you don't need a medium to do it. If you want to, that's fine. You just talk to them. And the other one is people who get so involved in, I have to know what my past life is to find out why I bite my fingernails now. It's like, just work on stop biting your fingernails. And it doesn't matter what the past life was, because you can shift that. But it requires a different focus. And I feel often the people who are trying to cross over, and I'm not trying to be critical, it's my opinion, but people who are so desperate to talk to those who passed over, or those who are so desperate to find past lives, are still looking outside of themselves for what needs to be handled inside.
Yes, I would say that's very, there's a real truth to there. There's a real truth to that. I do believe in past lives, and I've actually gone.
Oh yeah, similar, not, yeah.
Not because I was obsessed with it, but because I was curious. I do a lot. I'm a very curious person.
Sure.
And I'm curious. I'm just very curious about a lot of things. And being psychic only makes you more curious. It doesn't make you less curious. Because we, you know, I'm looking for consciousness. I'm looking for people who are aware and who are willing to take responsibility to be adults.
Mm-hmm.
And who want to learn how to love. And most people, you know, they go, oh yeah, I know how to love. No, I don't really think so. I think there's only two things that are important. Not what God you believe in, but whether you love unconditionally or whether you don't love unconditionally. But more than that, whether you can forgive.
Yeah. Boy, I would so agree with that. That's really powerful. I'm glad you shared that. We've been doing a whole series of things over the last several months related on those two topic areas in so many different ways. And so unconditionally, when you say that, I just want to say for the listeners, the important piece of that is it's not about you.
Yes, it's not about you.
That person is this way. That person is who they are. Love them. You don't have to love them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I will tell you my most favorite way. If someone has disagreed with you, you and he or you and she are in a big there's a big problem with the relationship. Here's my solution. I say, go get a chocolate whipped cream pie. Take it to them. Take it out of the box. And then smack yourself in the face. Now they're going, what's wrong with you? And you say, Joe, Mary, whoever it is, I really love you. And it's the seeing something so ridiculous, so absolutely ridiculous, and then hearing the profound words. I've had very good results with that.
Mm. Now, you're also an empath and a psychic, and so some of what I was leading up to in some of the discussion was trying to frame this is, and I've kind of laid some of my framework for that, is how do you deal with people and their problems? Because being an empath, that energy comes your way, and two, how do you deal with the, and you may see this in your client base or have seen it, the perennial person who's asking you what they need to do?
Well, I have people who want me to basically tell them, go to the store and, do this and do that and do this. I try not to do that. I want them to get this information. If they want a suggestion, yeah, I can give them a suggestion. But I always recommend people who have real problems get real help. I believe in biofeedback, and I believe that women should go to women counselors and men should go to men counselors unless they otherwise. Because while talk therapy may or may not be successful, biofeedback is, and I also believe in hypnosis. I think hypnosis is spectacular, and I've done a lot of it. I love it. But I believe that, these issues come up so that we will grow. They can be roadblocks, or they can be, a path to new understanding. And so when that issue is resolved, then another will pop up. And we can just shut down, what a lot of people do. Or we can say, why are these issues, keep coming up? Because I think we do not live in a time or a place or a situation where consciousness, a mass consciousness, is valued.
Hmm.
And what we're trying to do constantly is, one of the things I have over the years, I've been doing this over 30 years, believe is we're bored to death. We could solve any and all the problems if we harness this energy.
Mm.
And so what I see often is people are screaming, somebody love me, somebody love me, somebody love me. And I say, you really want someone to love you? And they say, yes. Is there anybody out there who can love me unconditionally? I say, yes. Who is this person? I say, four legs, a tail, and it barks.
Mm.
And they think I'm kidding. A dog doesn't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or anything. They unconditionally will love you. And that's what we want. We want people who will unconditionally love us, but we don't know how to unconditionally, most people, love. We don't.
Well, and love ourselves.
And yes, thank you.
And the common yes. theme that I find with everyone, whether I'm doing a reading or I work the local farmers market every week as promotion for my events. I do one card readings. But the one thing that I've learned as the greatest lesson in my life, and I'm still working on it, is really learning to love yourself, love your warts, love your shiny spots, your dull spots, love yourself. You can make anything better, but if you can't love yourself, you'll never love another. That's my
belief. I would agree with that. Many times I would, you know, watch these shows and the host would say over the years, is there anything you'd like to change in your life? And these are public people. And they would say, well, no. And I'm going, you wouldn't like to change this. You wouldn't like to change that. And now I realize it's on the other side of this. It's all connected. It's shown to you so that you might grow, so that you might expand. But at the time, you may not be ready to grow or expand.
Yeah, and that's I think, an important point. I'm sure you share that with your clients, is that we can only do things at the time we can do them, and we can only do them at the rate and pace we can do them. And we need to stop judging ourselves about that. Well, if I had done this when I was 18, and if I had done this when I was 35, and is that useless and wasted energy?
It is wasted energy. It is wasted energy. And what I would say is there's not enough silence. There's not enough silence. In 1976, I used to go into all the churches wherever I was, and I would sit and just be quiet, just sit and meditate. I love stained glass windows, the light coming through and the dust coming up. It's just really beautiful. It's just really nice. But around here, the things were taken, and all the churches decided, well, we can't leave the churches open anymore for people like me to walk in and meditate during the day. And apparently there weren't a lot of people, but there are people coming and going and just sitting and praying. That doesn't happen around here anymore. Not at all. All the churches are locked. And I think I think we need to have more churches and more places of that you can sit and be still.
I think that's an important point. After all, the growing up, and I'm sure it was the same for you, the churches were supposedly a place of solace and refuge. And that's why they were
yes.
open to you. And I can understand yes. if they close it at midnight or lock the doors or something. But what you're now expressing, I believe this is what I'm taking away from what you shared, is that they've become more concerned with their physical artifacts.
Yes.
That being that and place of solace and refuge for people.
So put plastic stuff out and get a volunteer to, you know, watch the building. Watch the sanctuary. The fact that they're all locked up means they don't understand the message. The message is faith. Either you have faith or you don't.
Speaking of message or even faith, we'll kind of jump back to being the medium for a little bit. There are a lot of people.
Okay,
who just
so pray. I can be small, and I can be large, and I can be extra large, and I can be medium.
You're giving me my own garbage now. I got it. It took me a minute. You caught me off guard. That was excellent, by the way. Excellent.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I got my own stuff back. I deserve that. But there are different types of mediums, of course, and I'm saying that.
Oh, well,
because
the answer is I'm a rare medium.
Medium rare. But have you ever seen, do you see spirits? Do you sense the presence of those who have passed over when you walk into places, if there was a death, or are you very paranormally connected?
I'm very paranormally connected, And when I went to clear a house of a ghost, and the woman, I said, "Where's the ghost?" She said, "My bedroom." So I went into her bedroom, and she was in the hall, no ghost. I walked around the house. I said, "No ghost." She said, "There's a ghost. There's an energy." I said, "No ghost." Then I talked to the daughter and the mother, and I could sense there was a really bad relationship. And I looked at the mother and I said, "There's no ghost, but there is resentment that you have because your daughter will never have children. She's a lesbian." Mm. And at that moment, the mother and the daughter started crying because they had an estranged relationship, even though they lived in the same house, because the mother wanted children and the daughter was not going to have children. And so it was like a water balloon breaking, but it was energy. It was just really amazing. I don't know if I answered the, I don't think I
you
answered
the
question.
You did answer the question. That you're able to sense spirits, but you're also able to sense when it's the energy of the people around that may be creating the,
they create their own, you know. A number of years ago, I was a volunteer at two different prisons. That's a whole different, two different stories. But anyway, when you go into these kinds of buildings where people do not want to be there, they hate it. You can feel, or maybe I say you, people can feel it. It's very sticky. It's very sticky energy. And you walk in and, you know, there's something wrong. I mean, you want to get out of there. At least I want to get out of there.
Yeah, it's a heavy energy, too.
Thank you. That's exactly it. It's a very heavy energy. And, you know, if you go to like an amusement park or something, even if it's in an indoor building, it's a much lighter energy because the people want to be there. They want to be there. And so we have the ability to make our energetic, it's like a footprint or a fingerprint on the building, on the insides. And anybody who's sensitive to this can feel that energy. I certainly can. And sometimes I've gone into buildings with my wife and I'm like, "Oh, I don't like this at all. Yikes, I don't like this." And you knew something happened, but you didn't know what it was. It was just something.
So
a prison is a good example of that. These people didn't, you know, I was a volunteer with several of my friends, but these people who were there did not want to volunteer. They weren't volunteers. They did not want to be there.
Yeah. So you've also mentioned that you had two sons, and yet, since they're grown, I imagine you didn't fully operate with your psychic powers while they were being raised, but did your psychic skills affect how you were as a father?
Oh, I had a horrible, terrible, miserable father, but they saw me at the very beginning of this. They saw me initially as a college professor and then a motivational speaker, and I had a couple of radio shows. And so they saw it right from the beginning, as I'm struggling to understand it, as I'm struggling to interpret it, as I'm dealing with this. I mean, it's right from the very beginning. And everybody in my family is psychic. My wife's mother was psychic, although it wasn't publicly known. My older son once predicted that my wife would win a vacation that morning, and she did. My younger son is very, very psychic, though he has no interest in being a psychic like I am. So we're all together. And as I think about this, I should have mentioned this, but I had in terms of mediumship, I've done what they call platform work. I've worked from a platform. People call out their name and you you know, you answer them in terms of any messages. But also, my wife and sons and I were attending a funeral. It was very well attended. And, you know, we're sitting there, and the eulogies are going on and on and on. And I get a message. This is Alice. This is Alice. I'm not dead. Why are they doing this to me? Why are they doing this to me? Over and over and over and over and over. And finally, we got to our car, and I explained to my sons and wife, and they understood. They understood. I get a lot of stuff. I get a lot of stuff.
Was that representational that the person who had passed over was not recognizing that they had passed over?
I would say that's exactly what it was. There's a period of time, as you probably know, where they're sort of like, where am I? I'm not dead. I'm not dead. What's happening to me? I'm whatever it is, I'm not dead. Why are they celebrating my death? I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And ordinarily, I would say to them, well, you're not dead, but you're not as you were. You're on to a new plane of existence. But I wasn't able to say that at that moment.
Okay. That's interesting to know. So when you encounter people, do you find yourself sometimes overtaken by what's going on with them or spirits or entities around them? And if so, how do you protect yourself from being overwhelmed by that?
That's an amazing question. We were waiting. It was sort of like bumper to bumper people at a mall. And I heard a wife say to a husband, would you like to go out for pizza? And he said, I'd like to drown you. I'd like to pull your hair out. I'd like to push. And he's listing all these different things. And I'm thinking he's talking out loud. And then he says out loud, no, honey, I'm good. I'm not really interested in pizza. And that really freaked me out. That freaked me out because I realized I was hearing his thoughts. I was hearing his thoughts. So much of the things that have happened to me, it's, you know, where's the book that explains what just happened to me?
Yeah. Well, have you thought about writing it?
It's funny. I'm looking for a publisher.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then everybody can look forward to that. We want to, because I haven't mentioned it, to let people know about davidchampion.com is where they can go to connect with you and also schedule sessions with you and also take a look at your blog and other writings that you've done. Do you have any specific guidance for people? We're in a transformative time. It seems very tumultuous to anybody. Is there anything you've been seeing as a trend or any guidance that you feel would be of benefit to the folks listening?
I would say you have to look at their people's heart. People say one thing. We try to capture whatever's going on in the news, and there's a lot going on. And so we reflect that and we say, you know, this is happening and that's happening. And if you say those people, Republicans, Democrats, whatever it is, you can't make people wrong. You can't make people wrong. And when you let people express themselves, they'll express the same everything that you have, everything. And I've read very, very wealthy people. I've read people from all over the world. And everybody's the same. Everybody is the same. And I've read all kinds of different religions and all different ages. I mean, not like the Middle Ages and, you know, Roman times and no, but I mean, different people of you know, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even people in their 80s. And so we don't value wisdom. We talk about education, but we don't value wisdom. And I talk about all the time consciousness. People are simply not conscious of other people. They're just not conscious. All of the stuff that's been happening, it's like we're not conscious. We're just not aware. Why is social change on so many levels taking so long? And why are we so angry? Do we all have hemorrhoids? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that funny?
Well, go ahead, please. You're going to add a thought to that.
The thing is, when I learned this, this made a difference. And what was the this? Love is learned. Somebody has to teach you about love. Somebody has to teach you about hate. Somebody has to teach you about the expression of violence. You have to learn all this. And in the discussion about women and how we treat women, where are the men who are standing up and saying to their children, this is the way you treat a woman? I've been married now 47 years as of September 27th. My sons don't have problems with women because I don't have problems with women. They never saw me scream or yell or humiliate my wife because I like her. I like her. I respect her. She's smart. And so, you know, what they see is what they do. It's just that simple.
Well, it seems that what you're expressing is almost the reverse of John Bradshaw's inner child. In essence, we get our woundings, our inner child woundings, from our parents' behavior. And we carry those, but yet we never get the corrected area of here's the right behavior we would like everybody to proceed, just as you said. So we carry away the wounds.
Yes, I really believe that. My father, my great-grandfather whipped and beat my grandfather, who went out of his way to hurt my father, sometimes whipping him, although and just was really mean to him. My father went out of his way to humiliate me every chance he got. And then I became a father. And I went out of my way to make sure that my sons heard every single day, I love you, I approve of you, you can be anything you want, and you can even be a Republican. And for those of you who are Republicans, I'm sorry, it's meant as a joke. I
took it as
pretty liberal.
Yes.
So one day I find my sons, I come home and they're on the floor, they're laughing their heads off. And I said, what's going on? And they said, Republican, and they start laughing. They finally got my little joke. But it's I don't care. The joke is, what I'm saying is, I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, or you don't vote, or you do vote, I love you unconditionally, period. I love you, and I approve of you. And that's what people want. They want to be loved and accepted and approved. And I gave that to them. I never had that, but I give that to my sons. And they're very competent and happy people because of it.
And to bring it around full circle, one of the things you stated early on is that you believe, especially since you're a love and romance specialist in your psychic work, that love, unconditional love, and forgiveness are two of the most critical elements that we can introduce into our lives.
Yes. That most people make a terrible mistake. They think romance, intimate relationships, is a relationship. Maybe not. It's how you respect each other. It's how you respect each other. It's the gentleness. You know, these torrid romances, oh, I love this person, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. No, it's simple kindness, simple beauty. It's not hurting each other. It's every single time you have a chance to be critical and you just don't. Don't.
Okay. So, David, are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners as guidance you would like them to go forward with, or any events you have coming up that you would like to invite them to, or even just invite them to a reading?
As I said earlier, I mean, this has been really wonderful. I've really enjoyed this very much.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate that. I would just say, number one, when you have personal problems with a person, whether it's at work or whether it's an intimate relationship, a husband or a wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whether it's a child, keep that relationship and that problem between the two of you. Don't take that. Don't talk to your friends or your relatives or your neighbors and have everybody have input on it. Because
that's
more
great.
Often than not, they don't have the training. They don't know what to do. This is something I do all the time. And yeah. I recommend that people really understand what is your motivation. And so often, the motivation is not love, it's power, it's control.
Mm.
And so we say, oh, I'm very happy at your success, but in truth, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. So I would have them use their great wisdom, and trust whatever wisdom they get.
Well, David, I want to thank you for being my guest today, and appreciate both your wisdom, your experience, and your skill. And thank you for taking the time, because on the East Coast, of course, it's almost 9 o'clock for those who know how to do East-West. It's much, much later than here on the Pacific Coast. So if you would hold on for a second.
Yes, of course.
I would like to close out the show, and I want to remind folks that Good Vibrations Radio will be back next week, next Monday at 5 to 6 p.m. At that time, we'll be talking to, I have to look up because I didn't have it ready. Oh my gosh. Kerry Williams, the author of Eyes on the Prize, A Kick-Ass Guide to Setting and Achieving Great Goals. For those of you who are more linear in your thought process or trying to figure out to create your goals as we come to the end of the year and start another year, that may be of interest to you. But for everybody else, I want to remind you that we are coming to the close of a very transformational month of October. We're headed into the month of November, perhaps the most energetically vibrant month of the year. It's really our time to set our sights on achieving those dreams that we've wanted in our life. And the way we do it, not necessarily by setting great goals, but is by making us the person who's the perfect receptacle for what we're asking for. And so that means do the inner work, pay attention to you, and know, as David said, learn to love unconditionally and forgive, and start with loving and forgiving yourself. Between now and next week, I'd like you to take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Many blessings to you. Namaste.